Brian, you have the microphone. Would you come on up and pray for me this morning, please? Thank you.
I know.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Well, Father, thank you, Lord, for Brother Bob, Lord. We thank you, Lord, and even on short notice, Lord, that he's up there. He's prepared, Lord God, to give us the word. And Lord, just bless him and anoint him, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Brian. Well, well, well. Well. Sandra. For this year, what's been our theme? Last year was what? We had to believe, right? If you walked in belief, you could see things. If you walked in unbelief, you wouldn't see the things around you. Now, this year is what?
Claim and declare.
Okay. That's a little better. Proclaim and declare, right? Is that what you said? What? I think, what are we supposed to proclaim and declare? Give her the mic back. Hey. You know, in school, when you looked at another kid's paper and copied, you have to be careful what kid you're looking at, you know? I don't.
Proclaim and declare the glory of God, but that you are living in it and that you are living it.
That I can live with that, absolutely. Absolutely. You get an A. A plus for putting up with me and Brian. But definitely, that has been the word this year, to proclaim God's word, right? Proclaim God's glory, proclaim what God has done in our lives and doing in our lives and going to do in our lives, right? In other words, don't take the credit. You know, don't just say, somebody tells you did something nice or what a nice person. Don't just say thank you. Give God the glory, right? Because none of us are nice. I mean, look around here. We got a nice bunch of people. But bottom line, take Christ out of our life and we're not going to be nice. We'll be right back where we started from. And that was not a good place, right? So give him the glory. That's what it's all about, right? Saying all those good things, I'm going to have to say that to proclaim is not quite enough. It's a start, and we're not all doing that, so we need to do that. But I'm going to add a little bit more to it, right? Let me give you a definition for proclaim. This is the shortest and sweetest one I could have found. Announce officially or publicly is to proclaim. Announce officially or publicly, right? That's proclaiming. And we're going to add God's word to that. So we're proclaiming God's word. So that means we're announcing officially or publicly God's word. I don't think that's enough. Anybody ever watch the news? And watch a newscaster? How they proclaim the word that day? That's what they're doing. They're announcing, aren't they? Is that the same way we're to announce? Right? Just reading something? Just parroting something that we've heard? One thing that's missing there, and I would add to that, is boldly. Boldly. You don't see newscasters being bold, right? They're all calm. They're on some kind of medication and stuff as they're speaking. We'll get to you in a minute. Yeah, but he was drunk all the time. Story. I got drunk with him one night. Yes, yes. I almost got saved that night. He was driving me home on the sidewalk. But that's another story for another time. I've also drove with John DeLorean. And I'm not sure if he was on drugs at the time, but we were in a Corvette on I-94. He was on the shoulder doing about 110. I wasn't saved at the time, but believe me, I was praying. All right. But see now, were they bold? No, they were crazy. There's a difference. God wants us to be bold in when we proclaim his word. If not, just think of it. If you're proclaiming God's word as a newscaster, At 5 o'clock this morning, two unidentified men walked into a building, pulled out a gun, and proceeded to rob the place. The police are now looking for them. There is no description of them as of right now, but wow, that's exciting, Bob, right? But sometimes we take the same thing, and when we're speaking to people, we're announcing and we're proclaiming what God did. Yeah, God did a lot for me. God loves me. Come on. Who should have joy and boldness except us, right? How much more bold can we be to know that we have God on our side, right? And that's the second part of the equation. Not just boldly proclaim, boldly and confidently. You can be bold and talk about something you don't believe in, like Brian. Brian is a great announcer. You ever hear him at the Melvindale games? Bold. There you go. He's running forward. He's got it. Yeah. They're going all the way next year. You don't believe that. It's hard to be bold. It's like an announcer at a Lions game, you know. A lot of faith, but nothing else there. You have to. Confidence means you believe what you're saying, right? I've had some people come up and, you know, wanted to share the word with me. They didn't even believe it. Do you know that there's pastors preaching from the pulpit that don't believe all of God's word? You've heard Pastor Don say that he meets with these pastors every week, right? Some of them don't believe the word of God. But yet they're preaching it. Well, they're going to be real confident, aren't they? Yeah, today we're going to read something, you know. It could happen. Could be true. If not, it's a good story, right? Is that what we want to hear? If we're floundering and don't know what to do, we got to go listen to some guy that knows less than we do. I want somebody to boldly tell me what needs to be done. Be confident because it's worked in our life, right? How much more confident can you be if God's done? Is there anybody here that God's done something in their life? A few of you? Okay, well, that's good. That's good. That should give you the confidence that you need to speak. You don't have to be a Bible scholar like Eddie. Right? All you have to do to proclaim something is to tell what happened to you, right? That's where we're saying proclaim, just like Sandra said it perfectly, proclaiming what God has done for us, right? How can we repute it? Here we stand, right? Sammy, I remember when Sammy walked in here, had cover her ears. She doesn't need to hear this. Had two shirts, one pair of cut-off shorts, some flip-flops, and the ugliest feet I ever seen. Was couch surfing in the area so he could come to church here. He lives somewhere else, right? Look at him now. Young man that God has really touched, really blessed. He's got a family. You don't deserve any of that, do you? It's by God's grace. None of us deserve anything that we have. It's by God's grace, right? But Sammy had something to play in that. Obedience. Do you think God, what does God bless? Obedience. The more blessed we are, does that mean the luckier we are? No, the more obedient we are. That's all. Obedience is good, right? It's not easy, necessarily, but it beats the alternative, doesn't it? So I would say, well, let's change it a little bit around, that this year we're going to proclaim. We're going to announce and proclaim God's word boldly and confidently, right? I looked up the definition of boldly. This is my favorite. In a confident and courageous way, showing a willingness to take risks. How can you be bold if you're not taking a risk? I'm going to what's Star Trek? Boldly go where no man's going. You want to see boldness? I'm going to boldly sit in this seat. Hold on. Woo! Applaud my boldness. Was that a bold move? Don't laugh, Eddie. I made it, right? Okay. There is no boldness without a risk. In my weight, there could have been a risk. I might have broke the chair and fell on the floor and hurt myself. But there has to be something at risk. If you're not risking anything, you're not gaining anything. Right? If you're playing it safe, that's good. Because that's all you're going to have is good. Is good good enough? Good doesn't get better. Only better gets bestest. Also, another definition for boldness is in a way that characterized, a way that is characterized by having a strong, vivid, or clear appearance, meaning presenting something clearly. I've flipped through the TV. I've listened to some messages online. I have no idea what that guy was trying to say. He was boldly just preaching, just going on. What are you talking about? Have you ever heard a good message and somebody asked you 2 days later, what was that message on? Oh, it was good. It was good. What was it on? Oh, it was good. It was good. What's that mean? I don't remember. Good is not good enough. You can get a good message anywhere. What you need is a strong, confident message. And that's one that hits home, right? Every time I've spoke up front, on a Sunday morning, I've had probably a dozen people, oh, that message was meant for me, Bob. Well, how could it be meant for you if it was meant for him? Because the Holy Spirit knows what we all need. Before we open our mouths, make sure that we're following the Holy Spirit. And it's going to be strong. It's going to be a confident message. Again, we have to be confident, and confidence doesn't come from knowing God's Word. You can sit in every Bible study we've ever had here. That's not going to make you confident. Knowing the Word is not confidence. Believing that God's Word will work. God's Word is true. That's what we walk out in confidence in. Satan knows God's Word. Ain't helping him a whole bunch, is it? So I would say, abridged version of proclaiming God's word this year is to do it boldly and confidently, right? Every one of you here, I know just about everybody sitting here, has a great story, right, that you can speak about confidently. You don't have to remember all of Psalms to get somebody saved. I think I've told you that story. My grandfather was an apostle down south when I was a little kid. Had this one old ornery guy that he was well known. Everybody wanted to kind of win him over to bring him to their church. But he would just argue. He knew his word pretty good enough to argue with every preacher in the area. Then one day my grandfather said, well, are you guys done? Oh, don't even bother going over there, Apostle Cassidy. Don't even bother going over there. That guy ain't gonna listen to you. That guy will just argue with it. He knows the word almost as good as we do. He told him, don't worry. Come by next Sunday. Maybe you'll see him in church with me. He throws me in the car. I'm like 11 years old. Going with him. And my uncle would always drive him. He couldn't drive. My uncle would drive him everywhere. He could drive a mule, but that was it. Cars he couldn't drive. But on the way, my uncle was even saying, why are you going here? Nobody else has been able to convince him that God's word is true. He said, I know that. He said, I'm not going to convince him that God's word's true. I'm going to get him saved. Then he'll believe God's word. Don't put the cart before the horse or the horse before the cart, right? You got to get it in order. If I get him saved, he's going to believe the word. If I talk to him for 12 years and finally convince him that God's word is true, ain't getting him in heaven, right? But wouldn't Satan be the first one in, wouldn't he? Knowing God's word isn't going to get you into heaven. Being saved. Where does boldness and confidence come from? Turn with me on this one. I'd like you to look at this one. Ephesians 3:12. I've got the New Authorized Standard Version. Usually I use the NIV, but I like the way it's said in this one. But NIV will do. Sometimes a different... Yes, sir. Oh, Sammy.
Did yes. that guy get saved?
Pardon?
Did he get saved?
I honestly don't remember. I just spent the summer there, then I had to leave. I don't know, Sammy. Hold on. Give Sammy the microphone again. Did you get saved, Sammy?
Yeah.
Then it works. All right. Ephesians 3:12. In Ephesians 3:12, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. Who is in whom and him here? Both are Jesus Christ, right? How many people here have Jesus Christ in their life? Ask them into their life. All right. But it's saying that boldness and confidence comes from Christ. Does anything bad come from Christ? Anything bad? Only good, right? But yet, sometimes we buy into the idea that God is love. You can't be bold. You can't be strong. You can't be confident. That doesn't show love. You gotta just ooze love. Well, I'm not Barney, all right? Gonna dance around like, remember Barney, is it Four Year Times or something, the purple dinosaur? I love you, you love me. We get the notion that that is not compatible. Being bold, being confident, being strong is not exactly the same as being a loving person, a kind person. My own wife laughs at me. Okay.
When you said what you did about how you look and everything, I told her where you used to shop when I met you.
Hot Sam's. Back in the day when he ran his store out of the back of his 64 Cadillac, yes. But that, 64, yes. But let me tell you, Let me read you something here. This is not from me. This is a quote from somebody. I wish I knew where it come from, but I do not. All right? To answer the question, it said, are boldness and love compatible? Let's take a look at the dots here. First, now tell me if you agree with this. God is a source of love. Without God, there is no love. Right? Period. And Jesus Christ is the proof of God's love. Right? And service or works is the expression of God's love. Right? How can you say I love you and not help? Right? That's what the word is saying. That's part of love. But then there's this last little dot. Then boldness is the outcome of love. If you love somebody, you'll boldly do whatever it takes, right? Well, I love you, but, you know, I don't know if I'm going to do that, Fred. I don't love you that much. True love has to have boldness to step out, right? You know, there's risk in love. That's what we talked about. There is no boldness required if there is no risk involved, right? So, yes, they are compatible. And actually, one and the same. One should lead to the other, right? How can somebody really say they love God and not boldly proclaim it? Not believe what they're saying? All right. Now, we've all agreed that we should be bold. We should be confident. I throw out again, why? Let me answer my own question. Again, turn with me to Hebrews 4:12. Why do we need to be bold? That's my question I'm going to try and answer here. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We've heard that a million times, right? I think every message Eddie says that twice. All right. We're all in agreement there, right? Anybody disagree with that? Good. Good. We're on a roll here. Hebrews 1:3. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He had provided purification for sin, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. We agree? Okay. Okay. We're doing good here. Luke 24:19. What things, he asked, about Jesus of Nazareth? They replied, he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed. Okay, as we back up here, in Hebrews 4:12, we said God's word is living and powerful. In Hebrews 1:3, God sustains all things through His powerful word. And here, he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed. What I'm trying to get at is, God's word is powerful. We all agree? Don't you think something powerful needs to be handled with boldness, with courage, with confidence? Have you ever seen somebody shoot a gun for the first time? You know, that wouldn't scare a crook off, would it? Why? He's scared. Because that's powerful. What is more powerful than God's word? Right? If we're delivering something powerful, we have to be powerful, right? What good is a bullet? A bullet is a powerful thing. A .357 Magnum with a double shot of powder could probably go through this whole building, right? Correct? No, it can't. A bullet can't, not without a gun, yeah. Right? I mean, you know, how many people carry guns, you know, pull out bullets like Barney Fife and throw them at the guy, you know? I'll put your eye out with this. No, you have to have, to use something powerful, you have to have something powerful to deliver it with. And that's why we should take God's word and deliver it through the power that's in us. Every one of you have the power of Jesus Christ in them, the power of God. So be powerful in that. Not a whansy-pansy. Right? All right. We all agree. Now, the next question should be, where do we get this power? Well, after his service here, Betty's going to be selling it, right? How much is it? Is it $10 a pound, right? 20. Cheap at half the price, Betty. How many people want to go buy some power? No. Okay. Where does power come from? Glad you asked. Acts 1. You don't have to turn to this. I'm going to read it. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. He didn't say, if you ain't busy Tuesday, or there isn't a hockey game on, or, you know, basketball or something, would you please, you know, unless there's something more important going on, would you? He commanded them. Jesus commanded. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father gift. What do you do to earn a gift? I got a birthday gift. What a big deal. I didn't have anything to do with the day I was born. And you just give me gifts. Great. Nothing. Right? A gift is something somebody else gives you. My Father promised. But wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Holy Spirit. You will receive power through the Holy Spirit to do what? To be my witnesses. Witnesses is mouth and deed both, not one or the other. One is not enough. You have to have them together, right? You can preach to me all day, but if you don't do it, I don't want to hear it. I would never ask somebody to do anything that I haven't done myself or wouldn't do, right? I come to these guys, I ask them to do breakfast. That's a big step. That's a big commitment. Wife and I do it 4 times a year. We used to do it more often, right? I hunt you guys down and ask you to speak. I don't think anybody speaks much more than I do, right? Which is good and sometimes bad. But the power comes from the Holy Spirit, right? Power comes from the Holy Spirit. You want some power? Get more of the Holy Spirit. You want more power? Get more Holy Spirit. Acts 2. Chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost come, this in Acts 1, Jesus was telling them what was going to happen. Now in Acts 2, it happens. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house they were sitting in. It's very powerful. Anybody here? Do you believe there's wind? Have you ever seen it? No, we just see the effects of it. Same way with the Holy Spirit. I've never seen the Holy Spirit, right? But I have seen the effects of the Holy Spirit in many people's lives, and hopefully my own, right? They filled the whole room where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? That's where that power. Anybody ever stand in the wind? I was walking my dog a couple days. It was really windy out, right? You're walking. Well, you can't hear anything but that wind. When the Holy Spirit comes on, you can't hear anything but Him. Right? I could have been walking out in the street. I couldn't hear nothing. Wind, my eyes are watering. My dog was worse than me. And that's in Acts 2. Then in Acts 2, the rest of the Acts, all the way to the end of Acts 2, is showing the disciples walking out in God's Word by actions, signs, and miracles. Wherever we go, there should be what? What's those three words I used? Actions, signs, and miracles. There should be some action. If wherever you go is dead, and you go there and it's still dead, who has a problem? You do. Right? Everywhere we set our foot, God gives us that ground. Everywhere you go, take charge. Because if you don't, somebody else will, happily, right? The whole world wants to tell everybody else what to do. Anytime you see a commercial, anything, they're what? They're telling you what need to do, what deodorant you need to use, what clothes you need to wear, how you need to comb your hair, Sammy. With nothing to back it up other than they're looking for a profit. When we step somewhere and we take over, we're not taking over for ourselves because nobody wants our wisdom because we have none. Our wisdom is turning our life over to God. Have you ever heard of good music on the radio? Does that mean the radio plays good music? A radio don't do nothing. We're nothing but radios, right? Just coming out of our mouths what the Holy Spirit puts in us, right? You just got to make sure you're on the right channel. Let's take a look now, real fast, through with a few little stories through Acts where this plays out, right? Those that go to our Thursday class, we're going to be getting to Acts here in a couple months, right? And that I figure is my swan song. The speed we're going. Yeah, I'm 70 years old. I will never live to see the end of Acts, probably. Some young guy like Brian's going to have to take over. I'm not going to make it through that book the way we're going, okay? So let's take a look at some instances in Acts where all this plays out, right? I always like somebody to show me, well, this is how it happened, right? All right, Acts 4, 29 through 31. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs or wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. All you read there is Spirit, Holy Spirit, boldness, spoke, right? But if we think at this time, they were taking a risk speaking this word, because at this time, Herod, the fake king, Pontius Pilate, the Roman general, together with most of the Gentiles and all of the Jews in Israel were coming against them and trying to stop them from speaking. Right? But sometimes we get offended if somebody won't listen to us and hurt our feelings. Let's keep going until I run out of time here. What time does everybody have?
9:37.
Thank you. You didn't even look at your watch. How can you do that? Like, you prophetic or something? Oh, scared me. All right. Acts 9:28. Sometimes you'll read just a little sentence and it sounds good, but really it's so great if you look at the story around it. Acts 9:28. So Paul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. Sounds good, right? But you know, he was in Jerusalem. This was his first time since his conversion going to Jerusalem. The apostles wouldn't even see him. Hey, Paul's out there. Don't let him in here. Right? Sometimes we have a fear of somebody that's just saved. Well, he may backslide. You've been saved 40 years. You could still backslide too, couldn't you? Right? Don't shun somebody because they just got saved, right? Keep an eye on them out of wisdom, but don't shun them. In other words, bring them in. Did they do that with Paul? No. They were scared, and rightfully so. All they heard was the stories about his conversion, right? And up until that point, he was killing them. So they would take a risk bringing him in. Right? They didn't do it. Do you think Paul was taking a risk standing in front of those 12 people? Probably every one of those 12 stood there knew somebody that Paul had killed, or even a relative of theirs that Paul had killed. He took a risk stepping in there, but he did it because that's what God wanted him to do. That's where God sent him. Right? So even those that are just saved sometimes can preach to those of us that have been saved for 40 years. We just need to listen. Because we're not listening to that person, we're listening to hear the Holy Spirit speak. And he can speak to anybody the minute he wants. Right? That's why you don't have to be 40 years into the Word to be a witness for God. You have to be saved. The very next day you can go out and tell people what happened the day before. You've already got a story, right? I got a million of them. Acts 13:46. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly. We had to speak the word of God to you first. He was speaking to the Jews at the time. Since you rejected it and did not consider yourself worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. Do you think the Jewish community welcomed them into that city after this point? No, but they stayed there for several months. Sometimes we read these stories about Paul, we think he just kind of went in, preached, and went on. Some of these cities he spent 4 and 5 years in. Right? He's laying down roots. He's just not walking in, preaching, and going off. I've seen many people do that. What do you know anything about? You ever turn on the TV and listen to a preacher? I've heard some doggone good preachings. You know where that guy goes afterwards? Do you know where he lives? Do you know if he's actually walking out his own word? No. Then why are we listening to him? We can glean. I've heard many people say, well, we can always glean something from everybody. Sure. But why? You're in a church where you know where your pastor lives. You know him and Pastor Don are living the words, right? Why would you want to go elsewhere? Maybe they have a different word? If they do, you shouldn't be listening to it. Sometimes we just like to hear our ears tickled. Acts 14:3. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to perform signs and wonders. There's where the confidence comes in. If God tells you to go pray for somebody, first thing on our mind, well, what if they don't accept it? What if nothing happens, right? Well, the only thing that could go wrong is if you don't do it. Did God tell you what was going to happen? No. With our kids, do we explain everything to them? Would you go, well, Dad, could you explain to me why I should go do that? Could you tell me what's going to happen after I do that? No, but I'll tell you what's going to happen if you don't do that. The same thing. Paul spent a lot of time there, and he was really had a lot of opposition in that city. It was Iconium where he was at. Here's one. We'll end with this one. Acts 18:26. Like I said, I got a ton of them. Every story in the Bible could go along with this. Acts 18:26. He began to speak. Now, this one isn't Paul. This is Apollos. Okay? Not Apollo. Apollos. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they had invited him into their home and explained to him more aptly or more adequately the word of God. Was he speaking boldly? It says he was in there speaking boldly and confidently. Did he have everything down? No. How many here know everything? If we wait till we know all of God's word to speak, you're going to die with your mouth shut. I know so much more than I did the first time I ever stood up to speak in this church. And that's the way we should all be. That's the way it should be. But should that first day, should I have been just as bold as I am today? Absolutely. Does that mean that I know everything? No. I have confidence that I have what God wants now to speak the word he's given me today. Right? When he sends you to speak to somebody, don't worry about what's going to happen. Worry what's going to happen to you if you don't do it. Right? Be bold and be confident and be strong, right? We have to be strong to handle a powerful word, right? We have to be bold to handle a powerful word. You want to see more results? Be more powerful. Be more confident. Expect something to happen. What's going to happen? I don't know. God tells me to go speak to somebody. I go speak to him. The outcome? I don't know what it's going to be. But usually I have confidence God's going to do something. I might not see it. It could be years down the line. I don't know, but I know God's going to do something because it's not that he didn't have anything to do today, so he decided he'd tell me to go over here just to kill some time. It was part of his plan. since the world, before the world, before the universe was formed, he had that in mind. So something is going to happen. Whether or not we know what happens is beside the point. But I would challenge you this year, we think about what's being said about proclaiming God's word. Think about the right way to do it. With boldness, with strength, and with confidence. Knowing God is God. He's going to do what he wants. Amen? All right, thank you. We're going to close in prayer now. Ed, let Ed close us, if you would, please.
All right. Lord, we thank you for this time, Lord. Lord, we do want to proclaim your name boldly, Lord God. Lord, we ask that you would infill us even more with your spirit, Lord God, so that we will proclaim your word wherever we go, whether it's at work, at home, with our neighbors, wherever we find ourselves. Lord, let us do it boldly. In Jesus' name, amen.